Meditation by S.S. Cohen. Meditation means many things to many individuals and ranges from quiet brooding on a concept or an ideal to the beatitude of the highest spiritual contemplation. But in the sadhana propounded by the Maharishi, it strictly means, whatever the method, the attempt to still the thinking faculty, the perpetually surging waves of the mind, in order that the calm ocean of pure awareness from which they rise and on which they move may be experienced. To beginners, this mind control appears to be a formidable feat, yet the master encourages them to go ahead and practice at all events to make a beginning. He constantly dins into us the inspiring notion that we are already self-realized, and that if we are not aware of it, the obstruction to that awareness should be removed by investigation, vichara, which is as logical as it is simple. To hear it direct from him, this self-knowledge, rather the way to self-knowledge, is the easiest thing there is, atmavidya. But judging from the questions constantly asked of him and later of his disciples, there appears to be the need for much spare work before its central idea takes a firm hold on the seeker. The master's obvious meaning seems to be that, even apart from the psychological efficacy of the vichara proper, preoccupying the mind with a single theme to the exclusion of all others, if doggedly practiced, will not fail to produce beneficial results. It will tend to reduce the oscillations of the thinking processes and thus render the mind amenable to concentration on the supremely important work which is to follow, which by itself is a splendid achievement. Finding the answer to the query, "Who am I?" is not the immediate burden of the practice in the beginning. Stability and fixity of the restless mercurial mind is the first aim, and this can be achieved by constant practice and by frequently pulling oneself back to the subject of meditation whenever the mind strays away. When the mind has attained an appreciable degree of concentration, which means of depth, it would be time to think of the answer. Some sadhakas are fortunate enough to begin with a mind already accustomed to concentration, either naturally or by training or through intense fervor, so that they are able to go straight to the application of the vichara and thus make a more or less rapid progress according to the intensity of their determination without much strain. For the master tells us that mental calmness, that is, a controlled mind, is essential for a successful meditation. The next idea in the vichara seems to be that wherever and for however long one may search for the answer in meditation, one will certainly not find it in the physical body, for no part of it is intelligent enough to stand the test of analysis or answer the call. Even if the meditator takes his body as a whole and confers on it his name, say Krishna or Peter, sooner or later he will discover that it is only his mind which is responsible for this, as well as all other thoughts and sensations. Thus, diligent search and keen observation eventually lead to the mind as the perceiver, desirer and enjoyer of a world which is entirely its own thoughts. For the mind cognizes not but its own ideas. The final idea, one gathers, refers to the most vital stage of the vichara, when the foregoing fact has become a settled conviction and the seeker unabatingly continues his inquiry, this time no longer into the insentient body, but into the very nature of the mind from which he has discovered the I thought to have arisen. Meditation has by then taken a firm grip and has turned from an erstwhile painful and apparently fruitless effort to a joyful, eagerly look forward to performance which can no longer be abandoned or even slackened. The thinking processes have by now considerably slowed down, and with it Naturally, the restlessness of the mind, profound peace and inner joy impel more frequent and longer meditation, which in turn reduces thinking still further till the moment of full maturity is reached, when all of a sudden all thoughts completely cease and the meditator, the I, having nothing to disturb or preoccupy him, spontaneously finds himself in his pure being, which is the absolute state or substratum. This is what the second and third sutras of Patanjali's yoga mean by saying yoga is the suppression of the vritti, modifications of the thinking principle. Then the seer abides in himself. And what is it that self in actual experience? Sri Bhagavan tells us that it is the light which ever shines in the cave of the heart as the flame of the consciousness. I, the eternal and blissful Sat Chit Ananda. This is the answer to the vichara and its fulfillment. The I, which has carried out a determined and protracted search into its own nature, has at long last found itself to be not other than the pure mind, the immaculate being, which is eternally wrapped in blissful stillness. This is Turiya, the fourth state, or Samadhi. There remains nothing more for one to achieve but to consolidate this state into the permanent experience of Sahaja Nirvikalpa, which is the great liberation. Sadhakas take courage from the personal assurance of Sri Maharishi and the testimony of those who have found the ultimate peace and relentlessly continue their efforts, however sterile these may at first appear to be, strong in the belief of the descent of the divine grace on their endeavor to crown them with the greatest of all crowns, that of supreme enlightenment. Bhagavan Patanjali's first sutras are indeed the climax of all systems of yoga. All yogas aim at the cessation of the vritti, modification of the mind. This can be brought about in the variety of ways mentioned in the scriptures, through mind control, which frees consciousness from all thoughts and keeps it pure. Effort is necessary. In fact, effort is itself yoga. Visitor, I am taught that mantra japam is very potent in practice. Bhagavan, the self is the greatest of all mantras and goes on automatically and eternally. If you are not aware of this internal mantra, you should take to it consciously as japam, which is attended with effort to ward off all other thoughts. By constant attention to it, you will eventually become aware of the internal mantra, which is the state of realization and is effortless. Firmness in this awareness will keep you continually and effortlessly in the current, however much you may be engaged in other activities. Listening to Vedic chanting and mantras has the same result as conscious repetitions of japam. Its rhythm is the japam. Visitor, as far as I can see, it is impossible to realize the self until one has completely succeeded in preventing the rushing thoughts. Am I right? Bhagavan, not exactly. You do not need to prevent other thoughts. In deep sleep, you are entirely free from thoughts because the I thought is absent. The moment the I thought rises on waking, all other thoughts rush out spontaneously. The wisest thing for one to do is therefore to catch hold of this leading thought, the I thought, and dissect it, who and what it is, giving thereby no chance to other thoughts to distract one. There lies the true value of the vichara and its efficacy in mind control. Sourced from Guru Ramana, Chapter 11, Meditation.